I'm Paul Lancour with podtech.net. I'm here with Chris Ouellette. He's a senior manager with Bearing Point. Hello, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And today is sort of a primer on ITIL, ITIL 101, if you will. So given that, maybe we could start with some definitions. What, in fact, is ITIL? How would you outline it for us?
Okay, so first, there are some basic terms we need to understand relative to the concepts of ITIL. One key term is service management. In this context, we look at information technology in terms of its development and delivery to support IT services and business operations. So some of these things you would think of such as email, internet access, the network, etc. Some other things which are really key is how we accomplish this services management aspect. We do this really through three key dimensions. One is process, tools, and people. ITIL supports all of these dimensions. And lastly, just the term itself, ITIL. ITIL really stands for the IT Infrastructure Library, and it's a comprehensive and consistent set of best practices for IT service management, and it's geared towards promoting a quality approach to achieving business effectiveness and efficiency in the use of information systems.
And historically, ITIL was begun in the UK, is that right?
That's correct. So let's talk about a few key background points and just give a little bit about the history of ITIL. The library is widely accepted, the most widely accepted approach to IT service management in the world. It's based on a collective set of experience of commercial and governmental practitioners worldwide. This information has essentially been distilled into one reliable, coherent approach and set of practices, which is now world-recognized as a de facto standard for IT service management. There are over 30 books which make up the library. In this lesson, we'll discuss only three of them. They are Service Support, Service Delivery, and Information Communications Technology Management. Originally, ITIL was developed in the UK and is still really maintained out of the United Kingdom. The agency which originally supported the development of ITIL was the CCTA, which is the UK Central Computer and Telecom Agency. In pretty much the 1980s, the CCTA was responsible for the development of ITIL. With ITIL, there is a stringent certification path, which is administered by several global certification agencies or bodies. One of them is EXIN, which is the Examination Institute of Information Sciences. The other is IESB, which is the Information Systems Examination Board. Certification levels for ITIL is at the master level, the practitioner, and the foundation level. I'll talk a little bit more about these as we progress. The ownership of ITIL is basically now owned by the Office of Government Commerce in the UK. They took ownership over from CCTA back in early 1990. And the OGC maintains all rights to the ITIL content under Crown copyright. One of the benefits about ITIL is that it's public domain, so much of the material is available online through internet search and can also be purchased from them in the form of books and CDs.
So I wonder if you could give us a little more detailed information about one of the areas you were just speaking about, ITIL service management. What are some of the key aspects of that?
So some of the key aspects of ITIL service management to think about is that ITIL service management is really a collection of practices, which when put together really forms a process framework. And it addresses really three key areas. One, service delivery aspect, and focus is on such things as service level management and availability, capacity management, et cetera. The other focus, one of the other books, which is service support, focuses on the service desk, such things as configuration management, release. And then there is another layer that I mentioned, which is the ICT infrastructure management, which focuses more operationally on things like fault management, inventory, storage management, et cetera. So with this, what this really means is that there are really three core books of practices which make up ITIL service management: service support, service delivery, and information and communications technology infrastructure.
Okay, that kind of gives us an outline of ITIL. So with that in mind, why is ITIL important to the organization?
The reason that ITIL has become such a recognized recognized importance today is that, as we mentioned earlier, it's now a comprehensive and consistent set of industry practices for IT service management, and it's really based upon a quality of service approach through effective and efficient utilization of IT infrastructure. So what this means is that what ITIL provides is a standardized approach and terminology. It focuses on IT services that promote business and IT alignment. It standardizes those processes I mentioned and many others, and does that through its practices and its measurements and key success factors and key process indicators. And then it provides quality assurance foundation for ISO 20000, which was recently released, which provides for service providers what the benchline is for IT service management. In addition, it's supported by many industry software products and tools. Many of these vendors, such as Computer Associates, Hewlett-Packard, BMC, all provide tools that support the ITIL processes. And lastly, it's best practice. And what that really means is that in terms of no more religious discussions about what needs to be done, when, who needs to do it, what's involved in getting something done. If one subscribes to ITIL, it allows you to be educated and to utilize those practices that ITIL provides in accomplishing IT service management.
So then what are some of the benefits to the organization of employing ITIL and ITIL best practices?
So what organizations typically realize through the implementation of ITIL is increased effectiveness of their IT services, which subsequently downstream means greater benefit to their business processes and achievement of business goals. It does this by focusing services on business requirements and needs. It provides a high level of those services required from IT for the business to support what it does. And it does this through achievement of greater service availability and greater service reliability. There is also a preventive and proactive capability built into ITIL, meaning that the services that ITIL provides and the methodologies that ITIL provides enables one to look ahead to some of the issues and some of the problems in the environment and to put things in place that continually try to improve service over time. Services focus on providing cost effectiveness. Today, one of the key things with IT organizations is cost. What ITIL tries to do is put things in place which streamline the effectiveness of process and efficiencies of process, which means less people, less technology, less licensing, etc. It also provides increased management information. Through such things as the configuration management database, asset management, etc., it allows organizations to have readily available information that's key for it to make decisions around its information technology. Ultimately, what this results in is some kind of cost reduction and increased serviceability.
So how would someone go about implementing ITIL?
So one of the things with ITIL which is really key is understanding where things are at the beginning point in time of a project. And what that really means is understanding where an organization is in terms of its current capabilities to deliver IT service. So one way we try to get an understanding of that is to provide clear guidance on a proposed end-state process capability needs to be for a client when trying to implement ITIL. And we do this by examining where a current organization is. We capture all the information that they have relative to their current processes. We then try to compare those things with what the industry benchmarks are. We would then provide for them what gaps are in their current capabilities. We would then propose a best practice end state. We then would determine the service management goals, principles, and policies that they really subscribe to try to achieve more refined and more effective IT service management. From there, we would gather very specific requirements related to supporting the service management goals. We would leverage ITIL and other industry practices as well to support the definition of processes to help them achieve ITIL service management or a refined service management state. Then there is the development and implementation of process improvement programs to make sure that once we've developed these processes and once we've put them in place, that there are some things which are helping to regulate and improve where deficiencies or issues may surface with the process capability. And is there anything else? There is communication, training, etc.
So, Chris, what are the challenges of implementing ITIL?
So in implementing ITIL, organizations realize many challenges. Obviously, one of them is executive commitment. Often, people think about IT, they think about IT operations, and they look at this as being more or less a back-office function. And really, in order for this to be successful in an organization, it really needs to have executive commitment. Other things which provide challenges are budget and time constraints. This is not an inexpensive or trivial task to implement. It requires a fair amount of budget, it also requires a fair amount of time of a client's resources as well. Other things include such things as cultural differences. Many organizations, people working in IT have been with the organization for 10, 20 years, and often ITIL represents and brings with it some things which are a deviation from the way they've always done things to more the way they need to do things. And often that requires some hurdles to get through culturally. There are also geographical issues. Many times these organizations are multinational, requires these services and these processes to be implemented across the globe. So with that, there are time zone issues. There are also some technology issues in trying to share data that each organization may have in different locations. Logistics. When we think about implementing ITIL and trying to do this in a global fashion, often we have to incorporate and include people from many parts of the world. That represents another hurdle in terms of trying to get everybody on the same page, try to get people clear on what the objectives are, et cetera. And then there are regulatory issues as well. So many companies, depending on what kind of a company it is, if it's a pharmaceutical company, if it's a finance company, each company has with it many audit requirements, many things from a policy standpoint that have to be in place. Those also need to be factored in and accounted for as part of an ITIL implementation. Other things such as the motivation of employees, training, incentives, et cetera, are key. As I mentioned, there is a lot of work in implementing ITIL. Many times this takes people away from their jobs that they typically do day-to-day and their day-to-day activities. It's important for organizations to realize that in order for this to be successful, there needs to be some kind of reward mechanism in place and training capabilities as well. And then technologies. There are many technologies in the marketplace today. Lining up on a technology, understanding what the requirements are for processes and which tools are going to provide the best suit, the best support of that, these processes is key. So those are some of the things which need to be considered when implementing ITIL.
So looking ahead, what does the future hold for ITIL? What's coming up next?
Okay, so the future for ITIL really focuses slightly, it has really expanded. Where today with ITIL version 2, we look at things like business and IT alignment. What ITIL version 3 does is it says we need to look more at business and IT integration. In today's ITIL world, we talk about linear service catalogs. And in the version 3 world, which is now upon us, we look at things like dynamic service portfolios. In the ITIL version 2, as I spoke about, there is a collection of integrated processes. And with ITIL version 3, there is much more of a focus on the service lifecycle. One thing we talked about was how ITIL provides this integrated framework of processes to try to achieve service delivery of IT services. And ITIL 3 is really much more focused on this lifecycle, but more importantly about how the genesis or the beginning for an IT service needs to be defined, how it then is defined, how it's implemented, how it's supported, how it's improved, etc. ITIL version 3 also focuses on strategies such as outsource, insource, co-sourcing, and more of a shared service model. In addition, ITIL is very focused on service improvement. There is a whole discipline that ITIL version 3 has published which focuses on how to improve processes once implemented. It also provides great alignment with ISO 20000 and COBIT. It also provides a service management knowledge database which leverages some of the key things that ITIL version 2 talked about relative to a configuration management database and expands that to include other things such as assets, such as user information, etc., to provide more of a comprehensive view of data for supporting IT service management. As with an ITIL version 2, we talked about three books. We talked about service support, service delivery, and ICT infrastructure support. In ITIL version 3, there are really five books. Each book has a focus. The focuses for the books go as follows. One is strategy, one is service design, one is service transition, one is service operation, and then, as I mentioned earlier, continual service improvement. All of the existing ITIL processes that existed in version 2 have been carried over into ITIL version 3.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you very much for taking some time out and bringing us up to speed on ITIL today.
Yes, great. And thank you for having me. And, hopefully this has provided some valuable information to those listening and helping them understand and apply the principles of the IT infrastructure library. We will be preparing a subsequent course on version 3 of ITIL, which was just released in the near future. And thank you all for taking the time to listen and learn about ITIL.
I'm sure that does help. Well, thank you very much, Chris. Chris Ouellette is Senior Manager with Bearing Point.